I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Sheldon Wolf. He is the founder and CEO of Intellitary. They are the world's first AI-powered, unbrokeraged, built to redefine how residential real estate transactions are originated, qualified, matched, and distributed. One of the things that fascinated me about this was I feel like real estate is one of those areas that's living in a different time, definitely in a different century. And Sheldon, for more than 35 years, has built, acquired, invested, and scaled businesses across real estate, lending, fintech, consumer finance, and technology. And so we're going to get into it. I'm looking forward to it. Sheldon, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first off, you're up in Canada?
Actually, I'm personally right here now in Canada. Intellitary is off in the U.S., and that's its home. I just happen to be here because this is where my family is, but all my business is on that side of the border.
Did you grow up in Calgary?
I actually grew up in Calgary. I've been here for, years, decades, and I've built a pretty good life here. A lot of my assets and real estate and holdings and investments and whatnot, they're here. And like I said, in this day and age, everything is all digital and floating around the clouds. So
what was it like growing up in Calgary?
Well, you know, it's funny. We're kind of like Canada's version of Colorado. Being in Denver, for example, you've got the mountains. So I can be skiing and snowboarding in an hour. I can call you with my phone in my hand on a ski slope, right? And it's just beautiful country out there. But very, very similar to that's the closest example would be being in Colorado compared to Alberta.
Okay. Wow. And you mentioned that Intellitary is based in the U.S.
Yeah.
Where's that? Where in the U.S.?
It's based out of Delaware. It runs right across. It's nationwide. It's there because when you compare 35 million people in Canada to 350 million people in the U.S., it's simply a volume thing. At the end of the day, the machine runs exactly the same. Customer buying a property, regardless of where they are, the mechanisms are all almost identical, no matter where someone is, whether someone buys or sells. There's really only minor differences. So you go where the population's heavier.
Yeah. Now, I always look at a flattened out map, so I don't have a good perspective for how big Canada is, but is it about the size of the U.S.? Is it bigger? Is it a little bit smaller?
If you look at the map, they look very identical. The only difference is you're dealing with literally a tenth of the population. So it's a little bit more spread out. You're going to see a lot more wheat fields. You're going to see a lot more cows when you drive across the country versus going from a city. Next thing you know, you're in another city, and then you're in another city. You just don't have the population here. So I guess it's kind of like, do you want to sell out a concert with 10% of the people or 100% of the people? So it's always a matter of going to bigger populations and making things work on higher levels.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating because it's a massive, massive country. But like you said, it's got the population of roughly California.
Yeah, literally. And, you know, it's what I say. I mean, in a day where I see so much division, which we have it too, but it's to use the word quieter is probably, I think when you have less people, you have more quiet. When you have more people and heavy population, and you just got that many more opinions, and Not to turn this into a political conversation, but I think there's too many people with too many opinions right now doing their own thing, their own agenda. And I think you do have that in Canada, but you hear less of it because there's a less population. So that's one of the advantages of the lower population. But we
Yeah.
have our problems.
I just back in November, I bought a house, and it's the first time I've done that in 22 years. But the thing that struck me is I see less and less value that the realtors are bringing to the table. And I feel like, at least for me, the realtors have gotten to the point where they're there primarily for the transactional purpose. I ended up finding the house that we got. It used to be that the realtors would help me find, they would interview me. They, not that they did it well, but they would interview me, figure out what I was looking for in a house, and they would help me go find what I couldn't find on my own. And that's completely flipped, in today's age of I found the house, not only the house that we ended up buying, but the other house that we put an offer on that was rejected. And so I'm looking at the industry. I'm like, you guys, and I sold a house. Yeah, at the same time, I sold a house. And I ended up doing a lot of the work to help sell it. And I'm starting to wonder what the value of realtors are. And I just feel like they're stuck in a different time.
Yeah, I call it the Flintstones meets the Jetsons era. You see a lot of these old school legacy brokerages, and they're still around. And it wouldn't surprise me if they still have fax machines, and they're just not very good at changing. They're not good at going with the times. And then you have this other world of these new cloud-based brokerages, and they're busy acquisitioning all of these legacy brokerages. They're buying as many old school brokerages. And the reason they're doing that is because they want a higher body count of agents. Their view is the more agents you have, the more transactions you're going to get. It's partially right, but completely ignores the future, which is the fact that there's you. Craig is on his phone or on his laptop, finding his own property, researching his own mortgage options. Figuring out what kind of a neighborhood this is going to be, checking things like crime rate, checking things like schools, all the stuff that you are doing yourself long before you even press the button and call the realtor. And then maybe he meets you at the house, maybe it's a house you found yourself. But there, to some extent, you are 100% correct. And you're the exact reason we built Intellitary, because with AI, at the end of the day, you could probably write your own offer to purchase. You know how much you want to offer. All it is a bunch of field mapping and an agreement where you could pick whichever terms and conditions you need, all that fun stuff. And maybe you do need a little bit of guidance. And I think the new world, I have two visions of the new world as AI comes on. One is an autonomous industry, and two, the preservation side of my brain says, I like the fact that there's still brokerages. I like the fact that there's still an industry where there's agents who can help out the public. And I believe there's still a need no matter what happens. And that's what I want to preserve. And that's why I built it, is to be a customer-centric unbrokerage where we focus on getting customers, not recruiting agents. We're not interested in that. We're not interested in acquisitioning brokerages. We're not interested in any of that. We're interested in the customer side, getting the customer like you to the table where you're pretty much ready to buy the property you've already picked. Done all the work on, same thing as selling the property. And then at the end, when you're ready to be transactionary, then you end up lined up with our partners, our strategic partners, who can put everything together, make sure all your T's and I's are dotted and crossed, and away we go. And that way you have the ability to do almost everything you're going to do anyway, because as long as you're a consumer with a phone in your hand, you have access to all these tools. You have access to find whatever properties you want. But you're absolutely correct. That is the way the future is going. And the real question is, how do I preserve it and make it so I can keep your transaction flowing back to a brokerage? How do I keep their purpose? And I think on a professional level, that's exactly it. You're no different than if you say, well, what about lawyers? I think anyone who has themselves as a client has a full for a client. I think there's a need to have someone human overseeing everything. As much as I love AI, I still believe there's this purpose.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, I was talking to a lawyer this morning who had been on my other podcast, Fiduciary Alchemy, and we talked about AI and how AI was changing law. And my comment to her was, it seems like AI should bring down legal costs, but you guys should do more volumes of business. You ultimately should make more money by doing more volumes, but individual transactions should come down in cost just because the efficiencies are there. And she largely agreed. The thing that burns me up, when I sold my house, my agent came in and she gave wonderful, wonderful advice. She did absolutely help us sell the house. But one of the sticking points was I drafted the original listing description, and she's like, "No, you can't say this. You can't say this." Not for compliance reasons, but because she believed it wouldn't sell the house. And she had originally promised we'd sell the house in under 2 weeks, or we'd be under contract in under 2 weeks. Well, we didn't go under contract. She convinced us to do a price drop that we probably shouldn't have done, and told us that that's the only lever to turn. The only thing we can do is drop price. And we went for a solid 2 months of 100% negative feedback. Everybody came, looked at the house, 100% of the feedback was negative. And after 2 months of that, I sent her an email. I said, "This is the new listing description. Please post it." I didn't ask for permission. I just said, "This is the new listing description. Please post it." It was like we flipped a light switch. We went from 100% negative feedback to 100% positive feedback. And you know what? Within 2 weeks, we were under contract. And it was things that she had rejected before that I said, "No, we're just running with this." And so the question I have is that really worth me paying you 3% or 6% of the value of this house when I'm the one that did the marketing to sell the house?
You are exactly the reason I built IntelliTrade, because I talk to customers every day of the week, thousands of times a day, and they all say the same thing. The world has changed. And let's get real. When you're talking about a home that's $600,000, $1 million, $2 million, when you're talking about 5 and 6% commissions, you're talking about a lot of money. But ultimately, that's not just money, that's somebody's equity. And keep in mind, this is coming from a guy who spent years and years and years selling real estate. And I can tell you, unlike most realtors, I sold thousands of transactions. I built a conveyor belt system that landed thousands of people with pens in their hand at my desk. So I know the industry exceptionally well. I'm not just a software guy who built a great piece of software. I know the industry probably better or as well as the best of the best, anybody in the country. I'm that guy. So when I built this, I built it from the customer's perspective. Like I said, my job's not to eliminate a realtor or eliminate the need for brokerages. My job is to enhance it and give you as a customer the best experience so you don't feel, well, I'm paying a lot of money and I'm doing all the work. I'm building a system so they're going to be there for the transactionary purpose. As far as you selling your house, you're absolutely correct. You know your house better than the realtor. And one of the questions I always got asked was, yeah, but do you think the public's going to trust AI? What, a realtor knows this and that and that and this. And how are you going to get the trust? Well, the fact of the matter is, the AI that we use isn't getting paid a commission at all. It only knows fact, it only knows details, and that's all it knows. It's there to move you from point A to point B in a transaction and get everything completed and make sure you're with pre-screened agents. I mean, I can write books on the real estate industry and the mortgage industry for that matter too, but I can tell you there's some excellent, excellent, excellent realtors, and you will not go away thinking, oh, gee, I spent a lot of money on this guy and I did all the work. There are some excellent realtors, and then there's a lot of really, what I'd say probably shouldn't be in the industry, but they are. It's their career choice, whatever. But they probably shouldn't because there's some that are almost a disservice to the consumer, and that's why we have a lot of consumers feeling that way. But imagine you're paying a lot of money to have your house listed for sale, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the price of your home. But imagine you find out that your realtor has taken that listing You've agreed to pay him $60,000 in commissions if he sells it, and you find out that he's not even spending any money on advertising. He's not doing any marketing. He just stuck the sign on your lawn and he's hoping someone else will sell it, and he just gets 50% of the nice big fat paycheck. He's kind of burning the homeowner. And you sit there going, gee, we're sitting, we're not getting showings. And to know that people were standing outside your listing wanting to see the property, and then you find out that this realtor didn't even call you back or return the phone call. And that's not who I built this system for. I built this system to weed out that glut. There's that 90-10 rule that's in the bottom of the 90% of agents that don't know how to return phone calls, don't know how to reply to messages, that just outright give lousy service. I eliminated that. I want to build a system where if someone's dealing with Intellitary, they know their train is going to go smoothly along the tracks, and their deal's going to close properly. There's going to be proper title services, everything from beginning to end. The mortgaging is going to seamlessly interact with the transaction. The train just runs down the track, and you just know you, A, sold your property, B, got your new one. Everything's lined up, everything's methodical, and you didn't have to do any thinking at all. But you know that the players that we're putting in place are all people who are experienced. They've all been vetted, just the same way Intellitary vets the customer and wants to make sure that they're qualified ahead of time, wants to make sure that they're capable of buying what they're going to be buying. We do the same thing with all our strategic partners. We want to make sure that they're going to actually return our customers' phone calls and treat our customers with white gloves. And that's kind of the system. There's two halves of a transaction, and it's really involving professionals on one side and consumers on the other. We just built it backwards. And that's the investor side of me when I was building it, said, I'm going to build a system backwards from the customer's perspective. And that's what Intellitary really is.
So let's break it down. What's it doing? So compared to my recent experience of both selling and buying a house, how would that experience change if I was using Intellitary?
Well, it's designed for mass transactions. And we built this thing to do in year one, 50,000 transactions. So when you go to Intellitary, we used something that we built out ourselves. It's called AV, which is audio video two-way technology, and it's all AI, of course, but you're going to have a meeting on my screen that looks no different than this podcast. You're going to be talking to somebody who's as real as myself and have this full-length conversation. She's going to spend time screening you, figure out who you are, what you want, when you want to, whether you have to sell first. No different than an interview. If you and I were having an interview to figure out, okay, well, let's talk about your house for sale first. Okay, is it listed? Is it not listed? Okay, then we move it along. Okay, have you been pre-approved yet? All the strategic, smart questions that any agent should be asking the customer. She's going to get you to fill out the form. You're going to fill out the form. She's going to end up on your phone. Now that you are on her phone, on phone with our AI, she could then patch you through to one of our specialists and right down to. So it's kind of, I always say it's kind of like what happens when you put Zillow, Uber, and Match in a blender. Essentially, it screens you, then it matches you, then it dispatches you no differently than, let's say you want to see a property at 123 Cherry Tree Lane, it would dispatch you almost like Uber would dispatch a ride.
So what's when you say it matches me, what is it matching me with?
Geographic location. So if you're in Texas, in Austin or Dallas or wherever, it's going to find the right agent. It's got a matrix that we built that if, for example, you're in a $3 million home and you're going to be selling it, it's going to put you in contact with somebody who specializes in your specific neighborhood, someone who specializes in that caliber home. On the other hand, if you're a first-time buyer and you're looking for a starter, it's going to match you up with people who have different attributes in our system. And then, of course, we have an ongoing scoring system, which is always going to make sure that you're never talking to somebody who's not going to return your calls, not going to return your messages, someone who has so-called bad ratings or reviews or bad experiences with our customers, obviously gets booted off. We're only interested in people who are professionals, people who are going to give excellent service. Because that's ultimately, if you're starting off with Intellitary, it's always going to reflect badly on us if we patch you off to somebody who doesn't give you good service. So,
And how would it change? How would my experience change if I was selling my house?
from that perspective, we have different options. A, we talk about commissions. Well, what most people don't realize is they listen to realtors. Oh no, our commissions are 6%, and they tend to believe that that's an industry standard. There's no such thing as an industry standard because someone can just as easily negotiate down to 5% for whatever it is. There is no industry standard, and there's not even company standards. Very few companies will dictate our fees are this. So it's really at the realtor's discretion. It's really up to you to negotiate. So one of the programs we have is, first of all, we do have an open your own door program because exactly what you said. If I have a customer who wants to see the property, I could open my own door if I'm going to save $20,000 and let him see them. If he wants to buy it, great, an offer comes in. So we do have one of those programs where offers will just come in. But the other thing we do is we take your information, and what we do is we kind of auction off your listing to our subscribed agents. They could all submit your issue is always going to stem from, well, this realtor told me my house is worth this much. Well, of course he did, because he just wants the listing. If he tells you it's worth more, he's just going to come back to you in 2 weeks and get you to price reduce. Oh, this one told me it was worth this much. Yeah, because it's way too low. It's going to sell in 5 minutes, and you're going to brag. You're going to go to work the next day bragging about how good your realtor was and how fast he sold your house. He didn't sell it. He gave your house away for you, you know? But what this is going to do, it's going to go to various agents who work your neighborhood, and it's going to get them each independently put their numbers on paper. Also, because they know that other people are competing for the listing, they're going to give you the best possible deal on the commissions. And that's kind of the system we built, so that it takes the negotiating out of it. You just get three different proposals, and made from there, you can even negotiate further. That's entirely up to you. But now it's changed the rule where instead of them coming to you and dictating how much realtor fees are, it's you being able to say, well, here's how much I'm willing to pay. And if you want my listing, here it is, but this is what I'm offering. So it kind of puts you in the driver's seat. Like I said, we built this from the customer-centric perspective. At the end of the day, they're going to make a lot of money. And as you said, from the when you're talking to your lawyer friend there, if AI technology allows you to do more business as a result of being more efficient, the bottom line, if you have 10 times more listings than you normally do, because we're feeding you listings, at the end of the year, you're going to make more money. End of story. But one of the other things that most people completely miss over is this: realtors are making more money. It's the brokerages that are making less. And that's why I built this for broker from the broker perspective as well. The realtors are making more money, not because they've gotten any better, not because they figured out a new method. They're only making more money because that $300,000 home 5 years ago is now $600,000. So when you take a 5 and a 6% commission and you multiply it by the new selling price, it's just more money. It's a higher commission. It doesn't mean that anything has changed in the industry other than the price is going up. And as a result, their commissions went up too. So at the end of the day, there's lots of room to negotiate to get a better deal. From a consumer's perspective, there's lots of negotiating room before you know you're taking food off of anyone's table. They're still going to make good money.
So, and let's wrap up with this. One of the concerns, and businesses are starting to learn, there are businesses that replace their call center with AI. And I'm starting to hear that they realize that was a mistake and they're starting to go back, and that there was a value in the human element. Let's project forward 10 years from now. All this is rolled out. Where does the human element show up in real estate transactions?
Well, so as far as the AI agents, if they're having a bad experience with them, it's their own fault they didn't do it right. Our AI agents, like you go on to IntelliTrade, she can literally talk to 20,000 people at once. I can't talk to 20,000 people at the same time. She is that good and that efficient and that human that most people would probably rather speak with Chloe. Chloe AI is what we call her. And she's efficient. Where do I see it in 10 years from now? I think in the future, if they were using AI agents and they had a bad experience with them, they probably just had some bad technology. Technology is good and it's bad. It's no different than anything else. There's good stuff and there's bad stuff. But I believe it will be so humanistic. You should have no idea whether you're talking to a human or AI. That's the future. In fact, the future you'll prefer as a customer, you will prefer talking to AI because you're going to get the answers you want. You're never going to have to second guess. I used to say, you talk to one person, you get one answer, you hang up, call back, you get a completely different answer. And we've all encountered that before. I think the future, it's just going to get better. The technology is going to get better. And like I said, everyone says it's going to take our job, and it will, but it's also going to give you a job. This might be a different job, but for every job it takes, I think it's going to create that much more.
Okay. Well, Sheldon, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies. How can people get in touch with you?
Best way to track me down is by email, and that's Sheldon, Sheldon, at intellitary.com. Intellitary is intellitary.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn. Feel free to drop me a message there. Add me as your into your network. And yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.